Investment flash.
Peace rallies are fun until the credit market says not so fast. Last session's euphoria and today's crash warning. Someone's about to be very wrong. We're breaking it down.
Welcome to Investment Flash's weekend edition for June 13th, 2026. I'm Marie, joined as always by Tom and Gerald. Today, South Korea soared, European stocks hit records, and space names went vertical. But under the hood, BlackRock's credit fund is gating withdrawals, and the ECB is threatening another rate hike. Buckle up.
South Korea's KOSPI surged 4.6% in the last session, all on peace hopes from the U.S.-Iran deal. That South Korea ETF, EWY, is up 93% year-to-date and only 9% from its 52-week high. This thing is flying.
Right. And Nikkei Asia also ran a piece with Asian leaders warning of an unclear future and sharp falls. So, which is it? Peace rally or head fake? EWI near highs after a 93% run makes me nervous, mate.
Wait a second. The same leaders at the Future of Asia Forum are sounding alarms, and yet the market just piled in? That's not conviction, that's chasing. I'm going to push back. How much of that 4.6 rally was short covering?
Probably some, but peace is a big deal, Marie. If the Iran deal actually de-escalates, the geopolitical risk discount evaporates. Korea exports benefit massively.
Fair enough, but we said the same about the oil sell-off yesterday. The oil fund call worked, but peace premiums fade fast. And Japan, the Japan ETF, EWJ, is near all-time highs too, but US rate fears and yen volatility could crack it. I'd rather be short Japan here.
That's the currency carry trade, exactly. If risk appetite turns, yen strengthens, Japanese equities sell off, the vol is underpriced. Gerald, you're right to flag it.
All right, so watch South Korea for a reversal, and maybe sell Japan. I can get on board with the Japan short, but I still think South Korea has legs if the deal holds.
Spoken like a true momentum guy. Just remember, Tom, 93% year-to-date gains don't grow on trees. They get harvested.
Fair enough, Gerald. Profit-taking is a risk, but the signal group says watch, not sell. I'll keep my finger on the trigger.
Speaking of triggers, the Bundesbank chief Nagel says the ECB stands ready to raise rates again, keeping all options open. That's FT reporting. Markets are snoozing. Eurozone equities, the EZEU ETF, are literally at all-time highs, 0% from their 52-week high. That's complacent.
Honestly, Gerald, thank you. Easy you at records while a rate hike is live? The market is pricing zero growth drag. I'd be selling easy you here. The pair trade is obvious. Long the euro, short European stocks.
But Marie, if they don't hike, it's just words. Easy you could keep grinding. And Eurozone banks actually benefit from higher rates. I'm not as bearish.
No, but that's exactly my point. The market isn't even putting a probability on a hike, so any hawkish surprise is a jolt. The FT article says Nagel literally said, "We stand ready." That's not idle.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
To be fair, the euro got a bid on the comments. Buying euro dollar makes sense, but selling easy you is a cleaner hedge against that complacency. I'm with Marie.
All right. You two are the macro doom squad. I'll stick to the banks that might actually rake in fees from all this volatility.
Ha! Well, later on those banks. But for now, the ease you sell is my favorite signal of the day.
All right, let's talk about something that actually keeps me up. BlackRock's $13 billion private credit fund honored less than 40% of redemption requests for the second straight quarter. 13% of shares put for redemption. That's FT and WSJ both flagging it. BlackRock's stock is down nearly 5% year-to-date, but the real risk is if this gating widens.
Wait, second straight quarter? That's a trend, not a blip. And BlackRock is the world's biggest asset manager. If their private credit book is stressed, what about the smaller shops? This is systemic.
Hold on, Marie. BlackRock shares are already 15% below their high.
A lot of this is priced. Private credit gating was a known risk. I'm not sure it bleeds into equities.
But Tom, that's the thing about credit. It's silent until it isn't. You don't get a crash warning from equities. You get it from redemption gates. The fund stress hasn't hit broader liquidity yet, but it could. That's the lag.
Exactly. Our view says it might be contained, but the signal is clear. Sell BlackRock. If gates close entirely, that's a headline that shakes confidence.
All right, I hear you. The inferred call is sell the stock. Not my typical play, but the liquidity stress signal is hard to ignore. I'll watch it.
Only took 6 quarters of gating to convince him.
Hey, I was busy chasing space stocks. Which, by the way, space stocks ripped last session, buddy. Rocket Lab and Virgin Galactic surged as investors used them as proxies to get long this SpaceX IPO. Piper Sandler reported heavy short-dated call buying. Rocket Lab up nearly 35% year-to-date. Virgin Galactic up near 19%. The momentum is intense.
Right, so a company that hasn't IPO'd yet is driving a frenzy in two names that are still down huge from their highs. Rocket Lab is 32% below its 52-week high. Virgin Galactic, 56%. This is a classic buy-the-rumor trade. What happens after the IPO?
Yeah, but Gerald, that's the game. The options activity is real, short squeeze potential. Rocket Lab was down 10% in the session, but still near support. I'm a buyer here. Both inferred calls are buy.
I'll give you this, Tom. The halo effect from SpaceX is tangible. But Virgin Galactic is down 56% from its high for a reason. It's binary. I'd stick to Rocket Lab if anything.
Fair, but the signal says both. I'll take the risk.
The space trade is the most fun in the market right now.
Spoken like a man who's never sat through a failed rocket launch.
Oh, come on, Gerald. That's harsh. But hey, we had a buy call on SpaceX yesterday from the episode, and now these proxies are catching fire. The theme is working. And the real money might be in the banks underwriting these deals. JP Morgan explicitly says Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley will reap outsized trading income from the SpaceX IPO and, quote, crazy market volatility. Both stocks are within 3% of highs, up 16 to 18% year to date, and they trade at 16 times forward earnings. That's cheap for this setup.
Honestly, 16 times forward is reasonable, and if the IPO pipeline continues, Q2 numbers could surprise. I'm not usually a bank fan, but this call makes sense.
Wait, but isn't that the consensus? If JP Morgan is putting out the note, it might already be in the price. And if volatility fades, the second quarter could disappoint.
Marie, they're within 3% of highs on a 16 multiple. That's not priced for perfection. The explicit buy calls from the digest are clear. Buy Goldman and Morgan Stanley. I'm backing the truck up.
All right, Tom, we see your truck. Just remember, when the truck is full of bankers, it might not move as fast.
I'll take that risk.
Look, let's talk about something actually cheap. European automakers, Volkswagen, Stellantis, Renault, are uniting to push for Made in Europe regulation against Chinese EV imports, per Bloomberg. VW trades at 0.26 times book. Stellantis, 0.31. Renault, 0.37. Those are depression-level valuations.
Only Gerald can turn a trade war into a value pitch.
Guilty. But Marie, think about it. If they get protectionist wins, these stocks could double and still be cheap. Renault is already on our radar from yesterday's buy call. The thesis just got stronger.
Right. We bought Renault yesterday, and now they're leading this alliance? That's a perfect catalyst. VW and Stellantis are down 17 and 40% year-to-date. Mean reversion trade, buddy.
Hold on. Policy outcomes are uncertain, and China could retaliate. The trade war premium is partly embedded, but if talks fail, they're still cheap, so the downside is cushioned. I'm not against it, but it's not a slam dunk.
It's an asymmetric bet. The signal says buy all three. I'm particularly keen on Stellantis at a third of book value and down 40%.
Any good news sends it flying.
Agreed. I'll take VW at 0.26 book. That's ridiculous.
Totally.
100%. I'll grant you the asymmetry. But just remember, these are car companies in a trade war. My contrarian hat is on.
Another one. JP Morgan upgraded Kratos Defense to overweight with an $82 target, 40% upside after a 55% plunge. The stock is down 57% from its high, cash flow improving. That's my kind of turnaround.
Defense has been out of favor, and Kratos specifically is a pure-play drone and hypersonic company. The upgrade could spill over to the sector. The Aerospace and Defense ETF, ITA, is only up 5% year-to-date and near highs. Might be a rotation play.
ITA trades at 35 times trailing earnings, though. That's not cheap. The Kratos call is bottom fishing, but the sector ETF is pricey.
But if the sentiment turns, ITA could catch a bid. The inferred call is by both. Kratos for the direct upgrade, ITA for the sector rotation. I'll take the risk.
JP Morgan's note is explicit. I'm cautiously on board.
Quick one. Nikkei is adjusting its dividend-focused indexes effective June 30th. Daiichi Life and Sekisui House are added. Mizuho and Astellas are cut. Passive tracking flows should push the adds up and the removes down. Classic rebalance trade.
Yeah, those are mechanical. Buy the additions, sell the removals. Not sexy, but reliable. I'll put that in the watch list.
Your trading style in one sentence, Tom. Not sexy, but reliable.
Why, thank you. Last one. The U.S. government is betting $2 billion on quantum computing, but CoinDesk reports the defense side can't keep up cryptographically. The quantum ETF, QTUM, is up 43% year-to-date and near highs. IonQ is down 32% from a tie, but has a negative forward PE of minus 55. The rotation is sharp.
See, this is what I mean. The defense gap is real. The government is pushing billions into quantum, but if our military can't secure data, that's a massive vulnerability. It's a bifurcated market. Quantum tech companies boom, but the security risk is underpriced.
QTUM at 43% up and near highs is pricing in a lot of optimism. IonQ is cheaper, but still cash burning. The signal says watch, not buy. I think that's right. Too binary for me.
Fair. I'll keep an eye on it. But the mismatch is interesting. Maybe a way to play the defense gap specifically, but no clear ticker.
And that quantum defense gap is exactly the kind of structural undercurrent I watch. The market is chasing peace and IPOs, but the real risk is that we're building tech we can't secure. It's a slow burn threat.
Which brings us to today's overall picture. Our view, peace and stability are the dominant narrative. But under the surface, insiders are sounding alarms. BlackRock gating, ECB hawkishness, Asian leaders warning. The gap between perceived risk and priced risk is widening.
But Gerald, the counter is that if the US-Iran deal holds, we get a genuine peace dividend that justifies these equity records. Private credit gating is contained, and the ECB might never hike. The rally could be rational, not complacent.
No, but that's exactly the point. The market is pricing the best-case scenario. What's missing is the interplay with currency volatility and carry trades. If the yen strengthens or the euro spikes, risk appetite could flip fast. The downside tail is underpriced.
Right. So the cleanest expression might be long volatility. South Korea ETF up 93% near highs. Europe at records. Buy some protection. A dispersion trade, long EWY or EZU volatility, pays off if the peace narrative stumbles.
Leave it to Gerald to find the vol trade in a peace rally.
It's not boring. It's smart. I'd rather be long vol than chasing a 93% year-to-date gain.
And as always, none of this is investment advice. We're just three friends reading the morning papers.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back tomorrow, weekend edition at 10 a.m. London time. Until then, trade safe.
Or at least trade boring. Cheers.